Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that he will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul, and listen to this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome, my dear friends, to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Actually, here is the Saucer Pod. And how that works is that I walk into a field and I toss it like that, and it automatically, through an association with my thoughts and the home base, expands it into the dimensions necessary for me to travel across physical space and indeed interdimensional space through time and space to get into the details and the complexity of it all. Is beyond the capacity of this broadcast. As you can see, today marks a change in format, and this is because James is expanding his area of presentation. And what is ironic also in this regard is that there's a reader at the blog who wanted some proof that I'm still here. And that I haven't been replaced by, I don't know, whatever it is they replace people with these days. And if I had been replaced by these people, you've got to consider that they're fully capable of replacing people however well they can, because none of us actually know the details about how they do any of that anyway. And therefore, then videos could be faked as well as anything else. Now, as far as I know, I'm still here, and I'm still me. But I can't guarantee that, because I don't really know who me is. Now, this person made some mention of Nelson Mandela being replaced in prison. I haven't the slightest idea of the truth of that or not. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying I don't know anything about that. No more than I do about Flat Earth. Well, I know Flat Earth is bullshit. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. Maybe you can blip that, or maybe you don't have to, but I don't know what to tell you. You see, I forget that I have to edit myself as I go along. Some things sound true to me, and some things don't. And because of that, I have to go with what I have experienced on my own and proven to myself, and what I may not be in a position to prove, but which rings true to me. And I have found, through my limited experience in this life, that some things ring true to me, and some things don't. And even then, I cannot reject out of hand everything that does not ring true to me, because, I just really don't know. And if I don't know, I don't know. You would think I would have done a better job with my life, but I haven't. I haven't had all the input that I have had, that I have in recent times. And I'm bringing this up by way of explaining why it may have been that I made so many mistakes in my life earlier on. I always had a fervent and deep belief in the ineffable. But it was a pretty one-sided thing, except for amazing experiences that happened here and there. Usually under the influence of psychedelics in earlier times, except for startling things that happened on occasion. For instance, like when I was arrested on Maui for some sort of drug-associated activity, whereas I was actually set up. I wasn't involved in selling these things. I wasn't involved in doing these things. And they sold me a bill of goods about this guy who was going to be killed by the Honolulu Mafia if he did not come up with so much particular drug. Well, me, you know, I have been known to consume certain things on occasion. And as a result, I kind of know where to get certain things. And as a result, I became all involved in this. And there was this one experience just before I was arrested, a few minutes before I was arrested. We had parked our car at the other side of the mall. Very intelligent thing to do, but this was all guided by the ineffable. And I was meeting them around front. My girlfriend was with me and this other lady who was connected also with supplying the comestible. And I was walking into the restroom, and I was walking up through these, you know, the kind of green and yellowish walls. I don't know how many of you have been in institutions, but they often have this exact same color of green and yellow, and industrial colors, I suppose. And I was walking into the bathroom, and I was passing through these green walls, and this voice suddenly came clearly into my head and said, "You're going to be seeing these walls for a while now, my son, because you were about to be arrested." I didn't know any of this at the time. Because I had sensed that all was not well. And I'm going, he says, "But do not worry about it. I'm going to get you out of this. It's all going to be fine. I don't have anything to worry about. You're just going to have to go through it for a short time here." And as it turned out, shortly after that, I ran out. I went through the motions. We got arrested, charged with enough crimes, at least in my case, so that I was facing life in prison. Basically, I had three consecutive 20-year minimum terms. Or in other words, they were like something, a designated maximum or something. You had to serve that time. So I would not have been up for parole for a very long time. Anyway, it was effectively a life sentence. And I was in this institution for about 89 days until I was bailed out through the good offices of good friends on the East Coast, my friend Howard and my friends Billy and Douglas, all of who worked in concert to make this happen. My friend actually put his land up, because getting bailed out in Hawaii is not the same as getting bailed out anywhere else. You got to jump through a lot more hoops. And I was bailed out, of all times, on the 4th of July. And then, I mean, to tell the whole story of what went on is quite complicated. But let us just say, 18 months later, I finally went to trial. And things happened that were outside the range of anything one could expect in a logical fashion. The prosecutor that was going to prosecute me, a very seasoned veteran, he moved to another island, was replaced by a person who had his first big case. The judge I was going to go in front of, this alcoholic Asian fellow, he retired from the bench. They gave me a new job, judge. I didn't have to appear in the usual courtroom because that was his courtroom. This judge had not been assigned his own courtroom yet. So a trial was held basically in an office suite with windows all around. And, well, you could see the hand of the ineffable involved. And what happened at the trial was so amazing and sometimes so humorous. At times the jury was just cracking up. so many people showed up in my defense and my support. It blew them away. They'd never lost a case like this before. And no one had ever proven entrapment before. And hasn't since, by the way. Yet, this all happened for me. And that is the ineffable and how the ineffable works. So as I say, I'm very grateful for these things that happen in my life via the ineffable. And I'm extremely grateful for the conversations that take place in my mind with whomever the agent of the ineffable is. You know, I was in Italy, and this is when it really started to be two-way, to finally be two-way like it is. And I remember the ineffable saying to me, "You know that phrase by Yogananda that you like so much? If you do not look for God in the springtime of your life, he won't be there in the winter." And I went, "Yes, Lord." And the ineffable said, "Well, son, it's not winter yet, but I'm here." Just like that. And it came with such an impactful and profound effect that I literally had tears in my eyes, and I was just overcome by it. It was so powerful and profound. And I've noticed for some time now that things that shouldn't have happened, ordinary things, where ordinary things should have taken place, excuse me, I'm going to have to mess with something here so that I can see better. Things that should have happened ordinarily with me, especially since things have very much changed in recent times, they don't happen. And I can't figure it out. And for a while, it was really frustrating me. And I realized it's because God was allowing it to happen. And then things that you wouldn't have even imagined would have happened, poof, would just occur. And that was also the Almighty. And he had kept saying to me at this time in Italy, "Rely on me, rely on me." Over and over he was saying this. And I have tried and struggled with this for years now, up until just recently, and now I finally get it, I think. It just happened the other day. And I realize now that every experience in my life is a special dealing of God with my soul. And that this is just something I have to accept, that every single thing in my life, and the same then applies to you, I have to turn it over to the ineffable and allow the ineffable to work it out. And all the frustrations that I've had and all the difficulties that I've encountered have had to do with my resisting the actions of the ineffable in my life. I don't want to do that anymore, and I'm trying not to do that anymore. Of course, it may not be me sitting here. I'm sorry. No offense to whoever it was that said any of this. Honestly, I have no ill feeling toward you. And wasn't really being condescending or anything. I mean, you've got to consider the impact of what you say on me and all the other readers who really don't want to hear this stuff. Believe me, all the powers on earth that are negative, if all focused on me, will have zero impact unless the ineffable allows them to. My life is in the hands of the ineffable. The ineffable is all powerful. And in that, I fully believe and trust. And to the degree that I do, so is it done according to your faith. Excuse me. So is it done to you according to your faith. And so it is being done unto me. I believe this, and you should too. You know, our lives are filled with miracles, but we don't see them. Amazing things are happening all the time, but our confusion and our lack of faith and everything intrudes in our ability to be at one with the One. And all these problems and things we run into is simply a result of our resistance to the One. We should not be resisting the One. Let the One live its life through you, express itself through you. Let the ineffable hear through your ears and see through your eyes and act through your being. Okay? And eventually, this will happen. Because why? The ineffable is already there. You simply have not made the link up or the hook up with the ineffable as doing so. But as you go around in this state of mind, in this consciousness, and you do this, lo and behold, it will become an automatic thing. And gradually more and more, the ineffable will enter into your life. And this has already happened in my own. Not to the degree that I expect it will, and certainly not to the degree it has in others, but I can see it occurring. I can experience it occurring. And things happen, my friends, that I'm not even in a position to describe or define to you. So all I can say are these are the things I have proven out in my own life, and you can do the same. Don't be thinking about wandering ashrams or following all your disciplines or if I do this, I'll get there. Everything is personal between us and God. It's not going to be the same as it was for anyone else, okay? You can't follow this way or that way or this way and expect you're going to wind up in the same place as that one did. You have to have a direct and personal relationship, and that comes about by loving the ineffable. And that is why that is the greatest commandment. Love the ineffable. The more that you do that, the more you give the ineffable the opportunity to act in your life and make things happen for you. Okay, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. And you will most likely see me, too, as you're doing right now. So stay focused and be consistent. Ask the ineffable for everything of which you have need and leave the results in the hands of the ineffable. That said, Hare Krishna. Much love, Lady Nature. Allah Akbar. Michamambu, Guru Bawa. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings, my dear friend, Lord Ganesh. Om Amitabha. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and I'm getting my aroos together, folks. All right, then. Next week, I suppose. And God bless you one and all. Stay strong. It's there. It really is. Right inside you.
He's strong and tall and slender. And he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. It's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring and meaner than you thought. With a deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.